Amen.
Lob, Ehre, Preisung und Anbetung sei dir, aus dankbaren Herzen, Herr Jesus von mir, für all deine Gnade und all deine Treu, die du sprichst, beweisest aus
setzen uns. Bitte schön, Bruder Frank.
Lob und Dank sei dem Herrn.
Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. We are feeling His presence. We have the promise that He is present wherever we are gathered in His name. And especially then, when He could reveal His name to us in its true meaning. We all know it. The name Jesus, which is written in 16 different versions in all the world, if one sees how the name is written in Chinese and in Japanese, if one sees all this and then remembers that in Hebrew it just says Yahshua, just Yahshua, namely Yahweh Savior, no more and no less, Yahweh Savior, Yahshua, and then in the different languages it is so differently expressed. But because God allowed the languages, therefore He has to hear all who call in their language upon Him. This only God can do. Blessed be His wonderful name. We have greetings from half of the world, from all over the world. For the first time, from Tasmania. Who of you knows where this country is? Yes. Yes. And then, as already said, from all over Africa, from the USA, from Canada, from all over, all the brethren are sending greetings, especially, of course, from Peru, and especially from Chile. Our brothers and sisters are joined with us. They are now watching us, they are listening, they are experiencing that we are gathered here today and tomorrow. Brother Manfred told me on Sunday morning it will be 4 o'clock at night here with us when you are coming together in the morning at 10 o'clock. But we will all be up and we all will hear and watch you. So we are greeting our brothers and sisters in a very special way. I just returned from Chile. We had wonderful meetings, and then we also had the Lord's Supper for the first time since 40 years. These brothers and sisters had the Lord's Supper, and the Lord with us and I with them, so that we truly had a wonderful fellowship. We are also glad that Europe can be here, from East and West, from South and North. Even one brother from Grenoble phoned me. They are hearing, they are watching. Everywhere the people are listening and watching. And we are thanking God for the opportunity which we have to carry His precious and holy word into all the world as the last divine message of calling out. Then we have brothers and sisters from Poland, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Italy, Austria, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Luxembourg, from everywhere, from near and far, we are gathered. And we are greeting all once again very warmly who are joined with us and with the Lord. Last weekend we had in Austria a nice wedding on Saturday, and on Sunday I was in Zurich, and the time is just running very swiftly, and very soon the time will be over. May I ask, who is here today for the first time, whom we didn't call by name, or you who are here for the second time, all you newcomers, please stand up, you both. May I mention you by name? Yes, our brother and sister Schreiber. The Lord God bless you in our midst. Feel at home. We have no membership here, but we are members on the body of the Lord. Just feel to be a part of the member of the Lord. God bless you, brother and sister Schreiber, in our midst. Thank you. Who else is here for the first time? Pardon? Yes. Here two brothers, God bless you, in our midst. And maybe, where are you from? Most probably from the neighborhood. God bless you, in our midst. Then we have here brother and sister, God bless you. Here we have one brother, also here today for the first time, God bless you. There one brother, here one sister, yes, right, one sister, who was with us years ago in Israel, and who came today with Sister Bauer. God bless you, precious sister, in our midst. Then we have special friends here, whose names I can't remember right now. The relatives of Sister Paya. Please stand up. Where are you? You must be here somewhere. Yes, both of you. I mean you. Please stand up. Be so kind and stand up. Nobody knows you yet. Yes. Be welcome. May I say what happened today? Shall I not say it? All right. The brother says yes and the sister says no. So what shall I do now? So, it is just wonderful how God leads everything. A printing shop, and the brother says, every book which you have to print, I will print it for you, for nothing. To this, one can only say, glory a Dios. God is doing great things. And the brother also added, be it in German, English or French, we will print it for you, for nothing. You all know, books we cannot print here, only brochures. And so we thank God for all the opportunities which He gives us to carry His word and to spread it. And when the brother, this beloved brother, told me, Brother Frank, I read every brochure, every book which you have written, I have read it. And I rejoice and agree with it. And I want that it comes among the people into the publishing house. And then it shall reach the people who still have to be reached. The ways of the Lord are wonderful. Brothers and sisters, We are not a new denomination. We have let ourselves be aligned by the Word of God. And as already mentioned, we don't have any membership here. Each one can come. All whom the Lord calls will come. And as written, no one can come to me except the Father draws him first. And as written, all who were ordained for eternal life, they believed. This is just like that, from the very beginning. And it remains this way. To me, it becomes greater and greater that God, in the last 500 years, and I'm just writing about the election of the Pope. I'm writing a couple of pages about the newest development. And 482 years ago, it was a German who was elected in the time of Reformation to be Pope. Now it is again a German. And the one was calling out, and the other one is inviting. I mean now Martin Luther, who called out. And so we thank God that we may look back. And this stood out to me, brothers and sisters, precious friends. Martin Luther first experienced the justification, and then he preached it. First he experienced it, and then he preached it. John Wesley, who traveled to the USA to be a great evangelist there, he went on his knees when he came into a meeting where the Spirit of God was working holiness, where true reverence was, and he experienced his breaking down. And he testified how he experienced a sanctification there. Really penetrated by God's holiness in his presence. And afterward, he preached this experienced sanctification. Let us go to the Pentecostal revival. It didn't start with a sermon. It started with the experience of the Spirit baptism. People came for prayer, and then the Spirit fell, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the filling with the Holy Spirit. Let us take John Smith. When it was revealed to him that the infant sprinkling is not biblical, and when it was really revealed to him by the Spirit of God that baptism is for believers and not for infants, but as written in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. From that moment on, where he himself was baptized, then he preached the water baptism for believers. The same it is now with us. What we experience, this we can pass on out of conviction. This doesn't buzz around in one's head. This is something in the heart. And if it is then even in agreement with God's word, yeah, then praise God. Glory to God. And we see that in every revival, the Lord was moving on and on, deeper and deeper. And now we come to that what happened through the ministry of Brother Branham. And he who knows a bit of the recent church history, some are mentioning Smith Wigglesworth, others are mentioning Charles Price, others go still a bit further back, but no one of them had a direct divine call, as it was spoken out on the 11th of June 1933 that the message which was given to this man of God from the Holy Scripture, that it would forerun the second coming of Christ. So, we are looking back and we see that always a calling out took place in every generation, in every revival. At first, the calling out of the world church, and then the calling out of the revival which was already cooled down, and time and again there was a remnant with whom God could walk on, who did not stop at the last revival, but who went over into the next revival, moving on. And so Brother Branham truly received the commission from God. And connected with it, he was also told, to you is given a gift of divine healing. Nothing, no sickness will be able to withstand thy prayer, not even cancer. The word cancer came over the lips of him who spoke out the commission. As it was also said, as Moses were given two signs, so also to you are given two signs. If they don't believe the first one, then they will believe the second one. But now coming to the point, we are not preaching William Branham, we are preaching Jesus Christ. But we are not bypassing what God has done. We do not trample with our feet upon what God promised and what he did. But we are thanking God that he has visited graciously this generation. And we all know that what comes from God, that comes by revelation. Not one can give it to the other one. Even the promise, which is given in a twofold way in the prophet Malachi, firstly, that God would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Tell me, who of us would have known that the first part was fulfilled 2,000 years ago in the ministry of John the Baptist, as written in Luke 1, verse 16 and 17. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then one just has to look up all the scriptures which speak of the fathers. And till one gets to Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, finding out that there is written, God spoke by the prophets in diverse manners to the fathers, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. You see, the dividing, the placing according to the course of the plan of salvation. This no man can do. This only God can do. Namely, rightly dividing the word and putting and placing it there where it truly belongs. Let me just mention this now. We were reading in Hebrews chapter 1. We were reading the word from Psalm 102 in Hebrews. And did you know that here it speaks of the Son It speaks here of the Son. Let me read you from Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? Now comes Psalm 102, verse 7. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Here it is about the revelation of God as Father in the Son. Verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he says, this is then Psalm 97, verse 7, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now it continues, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. It's just so nice if one can take the Holy Scripture to illuminate every subject which is being dealt with from every side. And letting only God's word speak. That we say nothing about it, what God would not have already said. This must just remain this way with us forever. The interpretations were made already by others. Our task is really to let the word of the Scripture be valid in all things. Now just briefly, the main doctrines which need correction are truly the doctrines about the Godhead, about baptism, Lord's Supper, really all these doctrines which were taught as the basic doctrines in the New Testament church at the beginning. They must be put anew onto the lampstand. And there it doesn't help that we remain in the Trinity doctrine or Trinity baptism and then still claiming to believe according to the Scripture. This just doesn't work. Recently, really well-known people, and Hans Küng is well known to all who have just a little bit of information and who also know who studied and who taught in Tübingen, namely Hans Küng. And here this man says, I'm reading, he says about God, why does actually the Bible not speak of a triune God? Should in the New Testament, should it not be spoken of a triune God or of a Trinity? If this, as some theologians are saying, if this would be the central mystery in Christianity, However, where does it speak in the New Testament of a Trinity? Page 126. And then the next headline says, no Trinity doctrine in the New Testament. Yes, people are thinking about it. And then here it's written, the historic critical research exposed this Trinity doctrine, which came up in North Africa or Spain in the 3rd or 4th century. It was exposed as being false. Yes, this was written by a well-known, by a critical theologian who gained in Tübingen a world reputation. He writes of the Trinity dogma that it is a falsification which came up at the end of the 3rd or the beginning of the 4th century. And he didn't write it here, but it was truly a man from North Africa who invented the Trinity dogma, who came to Rome as a doctor, and he presented it there. I don't want to read on here, but it continues here. But Stephen does not see a three-faced deity, and most certainly he does not see three men in the shape, in the same shape. He also didn't see a triangle symbol as it was used centuries later in the Western and Christian art. He's just writing about it. And I'm glad. About 900 pages. 900 pages. And the title of the book is Christianity. And behold, people are making their thoughts about it. How it is with this doctrine, which is really being used in all of Christianity, it's used like a three-cornered club with which everything is hit at and demolished. And he who knows a bit of church history, he knows that even Martin Luther placed as equally valid the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the triune baptism. And he said, I say that the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is at least equally valid as the triune baptism. Schwenkfeld, at the time of Luther, he baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were always people who were led by the Spirit of God into all the truth. It was always a minority. But in our days, God confirmed the word. He has really taken us out from the Babylonian captivity. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And so we're looking back when about 100 years ago the Pentecostal revival broke out. The one was the Trinity direction and the other one was the United Pentecostal Church, the Jesus-only direction. And let us be honest, both is not biblical. Not a Jesus-alone, Jesus-only doctrine. Yes, a God-only doctrine, yes. And the one God revealed himself already in all of the Old Testament. And of course, then also in the New Testament. We see that God was watching over his word. And because the end must become like the beginning, therefore, now, after all the revivals, at the end of the time of grace, the word was revealed as never before. And therefore, the church cannot compare herself with denominations, also not with the Pentecostal movement. We go beyond of what happened in the Pentecostal movement into the revival of healings accompanied by signs and wonders as it broke through after the Second World War. And to be honest, now we arrived at that point where even all who refer to the end-time message but who have left the word and who do not respect the word anymore, not taking it as the foundation, they must be called back, because the bride church must be a word bride. She cannot be a hybrid. Then we also know what our Lord has said, especially in Matthew 11 from verse 25 and also in Luke 10 from verse 21. No one knows who the Son is, but only the Father. And who the Father is, but only the Son, and to whom he will reveal it. And here's the point, not whom he will explain it, whom he will set it forth, but whom he will reveal it. Everything is revelation. God is manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. God is not explained. God cannot be explained. The man who wants to explain God must be insane. It is written in Nehemiah, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, O God. Who are we? We are not here to explain God. He also did not explain himself. He has revealed himself. And revelation is something very personal. As our Lord said to Peter at that time, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is the result of that, where our Lord said that no one knows who the Father is but only the Son, and who the Son is but only the Father, and to whom it is being revealed. I say once again, not explained but revealed. Everything and again everything what comes from God comes to us by revelation. And then we remember the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 14 to 17. The natural man does not receive the things which come from the Spirit of God. It is a foolishness to him. The one excludes the other one. One could today close down all the preacher seminars, all the theological faculties could be closed down, then no damage would be done to mankind. Just the contrary. Mankind would have been helped. So let us open the door and let us come back to the Lord, so that he can teach us his ways. Let us just bring in something here. It's really written in Isaiah 2 and in Micah 4, the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, and the teaching from Mount Zion. There were the prophets. There was our Lord. There were the apostles. There was the founding of the New Testament church. There the first sermon was preached. The first command about baptism under the direct outpouring and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Who wants to deny it? It's written. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, the heaven opened and the Spirit of God came down. Brothers and sisters, we are of course all coming from various denominations, and the various directions must then end here under the word. And here starts only one direction, namely that of the Word of God. That of the Word of God. And then we reach the stand. And this I want to say here as a basic statement. Where revelation comes, the discussions stop. Where there are still discussions going on, there is no revelation yet. Whoever gets an answer, he doesn't ask for one anymore. He got it. He got the answer. And he who wishes to have the answer of Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and the other scriptures, just let him simply go to the book of Acts. There is the answer. And it is in the Word of God. And therefore, we are thankful that we truly have a full, a glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Also concerning the end time message, in all the details, why should one discuss about one single point? If we discuss, then there's still no revelation yet. When revelation comes, there is a stop to all discussions. Then we don't ask anymore, what do you think, what do you mean? When God answers us, namely through his word, then all can be silent and the discussions is over. What we all still need, brothers and sisters, is the personal connection to God. The personal revelation of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, had the consequence that we, each one of us, was connected to God. That God was in Christ and having reconciled you and me, all of us, with himself, forgiving us our trespasses by his grace. One point which Brother Branham emphasizes in a special way is the justification. The justification by faith. And the justification does not only include forgiveness. Forgiveness anyway, anyhow, by the blood of the Lamb. But the divine justification puts us into the place as if we would never have sinned, as if we would never have trespassed in our lives. It brings us back into the adoption of sons, which was promised to us and which was given to us in Jesus Christ by grace. A few scriptures came to me, which we also must take to heart. Namely, when we come together, then most certainly the cares of our everyday lives are sometimes still with us. And whether we like it or not, we are still men. And the life is not so easy. It's difficult. It brings problems. And it brings things which we don't like. And here we really must experience the word from Matthew 11, from verse 28 to 30, where our Lord is inviting. He says, come unto me all. There's of course no meeting where not people are present who have a need, who carry a burden with themselves, who have a problem, and it must be made possible to lay it off, bringing it to the feet of the Lord. I will read you this text. Actually, this text should be read in every meeting. From Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, from verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And right after this statement, it's written in verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here we have a meeting with our Lord. In every meeting in which the Lord was present, something happened. And if we would read on in the following chapters, be it the man with the withered hand, as we are told in the next chapter from verse 46 and onward, in verse 49 in Matthew 12 we read, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister. Before this, I wanted to read the word from the same chapter, namely from verse 10. And behold, there was a man who had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Just think of it. The Sabbath was so important and so holy for them that they now, as they saw this man with the withered hand, they were watching him and said, one moment, if this man from Nazareth heals this man now, then we have something against him, because he does not keep the Sabbath. And then it continues, our Lord says from verse 11, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then says he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Yes. And then it says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might kill him. One almost can't believe this. But the times have not changed yet. There are still scribes. There are still Pharisees. And he who wants to read on, it's written straight in verse 15 in Matthew 12. But When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Not only the healing of the one, then followed the healing of all. And why? Because in the prophet Isaiah is written, you can read it, Isaiah 42, there we can read it, what was promised at that time, and what also took place, Isaiah 42, from verse 1 to 4. What I want to emphasize, and I hope that God also wants to emphasize, is the following, that we must expect to have biblical meetings, just counting on the presence of God, that all who need salvation, that experience salvation, that all who wish to find rest, that they find rest in God, that they find this rest, but also that not only some, but that all are being healed. Because here it is truly written in one verse that the one man was healed, and then all were healed who came to the Lord. This is our right, our divine right, to preach the full gospel, to trust the Lord that he is present, and that he can confirm his word in those who believe it. Now just be honest, the same God who made the body, who gave the life in the body, and the same God who already in the very natural took care of that, when for instance an operation is being done, that then the wound heals, that everything heals. This is how God has done it already in the natural, regardless of where all over the earth a man has an operation or something. The healing comes. It is already in the body. Can God not do more based upon faith, based upon prayer? Can God not do miracles? Did he not suffer for us? Was not our Lord smitten and stricken? If already a natural healing is here for all of mankind in the natural body, how much more shall it then be with us, who we are believers, that we trust God, that he can give beyond what we can ask or understand, that he really makes the impossible possible? Don't you think that only thereby the believers are distinguished from all of the rest of the world? I repeat, in all the world, the wounds are healing. Doesn't matter who cuts himself or who is being injured. This is very natural. Shall God not distinguish the church from the rest of the world? Not doing something beyond the natural, beyond what we can ask or understand, confirming his word on those who believe him. And then we really differ from this world, not only in the faith, but also in that what God is doing among the believers as the confirmation of his word. What is also important is that we reach the point where we become one heart and one soul, as at the beginning. The unity was already before Pentecost, already before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The believers were in expectation, but they were one heart and one soul. the same, it must become now. And for this, it is just necessary that within the divine message, really all own voices come to an end, and that only God has something to say, and that by this the unity in the Spirit is being established by grace. For this, the word of the message in 1 John, as left to us here in writing, 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. So, not of a messenger, but directly of the Lord, which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This we all believe. This we all believe with all our hearts. God is light. No darkness is in him. And the first thing he did in the creation work was he separated light from darkness. He called the light day and he called darkness night. And he was separating the one from the other. The same is happening now. And he who wants to read it up can really look it up in 1 Thessalonians. That we as believers are the children of day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And then the command, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. It is not enough that one just reads John 8, verse 12. He who follows me shall not remain in darkness. It is not enough that one just reads 2 Peter chapter 1. From verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which shines as a light in a dark place. It must become like it. It must become true with us. And only when it has become true with us, then we can bear witness of it. Before, we may stagger from here and to there, but in the moment where we experienced it, where revelation was given to us by God, that we were taken out from the kingdom of darkness, by grace we were taken out and were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then we have left the night and darkness behind us and have seen the light and have become the children of light by his grace. John the Baptist bore witness of the light, and behold, he who walks in the light, he does not stumble. Brothers and sisters, there are so many scriptures which are intertwined. Also here, coming back to the word in the Epistle of John about the message, and in verse 6, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, the claim to walk in the light is by no means enough. It must have become like it. It must have become a reality in our lives. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The day is far spent. The light came at evening time to once more illuminate the whole plan of salvation of our God, to really lead us into all the truth, taking us out of all the interpretations. Because every interpretation is just a walking on in darkness. Only by revelation comes true light. Only by revelation comes that to us what God promised. If we would read in Corinthians, then we are told of knowing things in part. Everything is patchwork. 1 Corinthians 13. But the divine patchwork is building upon another. Every piece is complete in itself. But not everything comes at once. As Peter writes in his epistle, we are being built up as living stones. Not everything is finished at once. It is a process which we also go through as the church, that we come to the Lord, and as the mortar is between the stones, between the bricks, so the divine love must be between the living stones. This is just like this. And therefore, the admonition to return to the first love, and by this returning to the first works, and by this returning to the beginning, because that's how it is written, that we must come back to the beginning. If we wanted to go on in 1 Peter chapter 2, here we have it about this build up. It's written here as the living stones from verse 4. And then it says in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the chief cornerstone. Here we see the build up. But listen to 2 Peter, namely in chapter 1, we are shown the inner build-up, which we must experience personally, shown to us in comparison to the outward build-up, which we make up as the living stones unto the house of God in the Spirit to offer up spiritual sacrifice. Here, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, it is then about that, what must take place with each one of us personally by his grace. From verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. The calling is emphasized here. He has called us with an holy calling. And now it comes. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Verheißungen geschenkt. Und hier wird jetzt der Schwerpunkt.
And here's the important thing of it.
Die wichtigsten und kostbarsten,
as exceeding great and precious promises he has given unto us, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature.
Anteil an der göttlichen Natur erhaltet. Anteil an der göttlichen Natur.
Partakers of the divine nature. Brothers and sisters, let us say it as it is. When Peter writes that we are born again unto a living hope, through the word, through the seed of the word, and by this having become partakers of the divine nature, but this then does not exclude Ephesians 4 from verse 19 and 20, namely that we must put off the old man. The new man must grow, the old man must decrease. Everything what we recognize that it is not right before God, it must be put off, and again putting it off, so that the new man, so that God can come to his right in us. And to this belongs really, as written here, in the next verse, from verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Faith without virtue is not yet that what God wants to see. And to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. But this knowledge does not puff up. This knowledge is building up. It's a very big difference. If a certain knowledge goes to someone's head, then it puffs up. But when it is the gift which God gives us, then it builds up. And to knowledge, self-control. And to temperance, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Here we have the inner build-up of the believers. That the inner man, who is nourishing himself of the promises of God, who lives in it, that all these characteristics are truly manifested in us. That the word accomplishes for what it was sent for. That the Spirit of God can be at work. That we are no longer children, but are coming unto a perfect man in Christ Jesus. These characteristics, which are listed here, just belong to it. And now, and this we may not forget, brothers and sisters, in all the past revivals, the calling out was not yet final, and it was not yet unto perfection. It was not yet in connection with the rapture. In our time, it is different. Our time cannot be compared with some kind of revival or calling out or moving on, as it took place in the 500 years after the Reformation. Our time is an exception. It's a prophetic age, a time in which Bible prophecies are being fulfilled, a time in which prophecies are becoming a reality. And everything what was predicted, to what we don't want to go into details today, but it takes place right before our very eyes. How often shall we emphasize it? As our Lord pointed it also out, when you see these things coming to pass, then Lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. This one could not say with such assurance 300 or 400 or 200 years ago. Today we can say it, because we are the generation which is experiencing it, which is seeing it, how all the Bible prophecies are finding their fulfillment. And the best we can see on the people of Israel. Who wants to deny that God promised at the end of days to bring the very natural chosen people back into the natural land of promise? How often shall we say it? From 143 countries, from all over the world and all the languages, they returned because God said it like this in His Word. In the prophet Hosea, very clearly, He said, after 2 days, you will be revived, and in the third day, you will live in my sight. 1 day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. No man needs to interpret it anymore. Also this, we have said many times, God's word must be seen in its fulfillment. The time of interpretations are a long time over. This is the time of the fulfillment of that what God, through the mouths of all the prophets and apostles in the Old and New Testament, predicted for this time, that it would take place. Brothers and sisters, we are a generation pardoned by God. We have the great privilege to live in this time, to call God's people together so that they can all hear the words of God and that they respect the word, and just being knit together as the body of the Lord, so that Christ as the head can be again in our midst, confirming His word as then. As we also said, then all have the blessing which God has prepared for them. Then the lost ones get saved. They are finding rest in God. They are finding peace with God. They suddenly recognize that they were walking on their own ways. And their own ways where was the broad way which leads to destruction. And then came the call of God. Well, it comes even to today into our lives, to come from our own ways unto the way of the Lord, entering the straight gate, walking on the narrow way which leads to life. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, we can experience the grace of God today. We can experience today that God is present, confirming His word. And as Paul has said, I believe, and therefore I speak. And I think I can say here, we all believe. And because we believe, therefore we will see the glory of God. Tell me, is there still one man in our midst who could say or who would think, oh, what is being said there with the word, this doesn't speak to me. I believe it speaks to us. I believe that God's word really has something to say to us. Friends, no one should be angry. But if God's word does not speak to us, what then? The sermon is really for the purpose that God speaks to us. And the prayer is for the purpose that we speak with God. Both has its time. Both has its place. Let us summarize of what it is actually all about. It is about that in the last revival, the last calling out takes place. And that in the last revival, as the last call is given, that the bride church is being led back to the Lord, that bride and bridegroom are being united, that we become a part of the Word, that just everything gets the way as it was at the beginning. This is the divine purpose. And therefore, we cannot compare ourselves with any of the past revivals. It's impossible. And let us be honest, God gave great blessings. Although in most of the revivals, the preachers themselves remained in all the traditional doctrines. And yet, God blessed. And why did God bless? He did not bless because the people were in error, but He blessed those who believed the word as far as it was preached to them, who walked in the light as God gave it. They are justified before the Lord. And therefore, we, who we have the grace to see the full light, having the full word and getting it revealed, God will demand much from us because much was given to us. But one thing is sure forever. Compromises are not possible. The mixing must have an end, and the calling out must take place with us. Be honest, if we are not the ones who we are fully placing ourselves onto the side of God, who else shall it be then? I know, this is quite a strong statement. One actually doesn't want to say it. But is God with all who are walking on their own ways, who are presenting their own doctrines, who are having their own programs, or is He with those who believe His word as being the absolute? More we cannot do. Abraham was justified because he believed. Only then came the circumcision. The circumcision came as the seal because he believed. And so we also must, being the seed of Abraham, we must believe with all our hearts. And we must experience personally this build up on our inside, namely that all the virtues by God's grace are manifested and worked in us by His grace, that we all become one heart and one soul, and that the divine love can reign in our hearts and in our minds. It will come to the point that the enemy must flee completely, that all the misunderstandings, everything what causes grief and sadness, what could disturb the Spirit of God, or what could even grieve the Holy Spirit, so that he has to withdraw himself, that we really come into the presence of God and placing us under the protection of the blood of the Lamb and receiving and taking the full forgiveness for us, and to also grant to others their full forgiveness and their reconciliation, so that we truly do not lay anything, that we don't lay any charge against anyone, but instead being free and open in the presence of God. The greatest and most wonderful is ahead of us. It will happen. It will take place very, very soon. God has only revealed His word to us because this is the time in which all things, even they are very high and deep, they were really revealed to us, and this by grace. And for this purpose, God has sent us a prophetic ministry, because these are the ministries in the church. And we received and accepted it, what God has given us. We are thankful for it. And now just one wish. May all who have a request on their hearts today, all who have a need on their hearts, may they bring it to the Lord God, so that no one leaves this building with a need, but laying off everything, finding rest for the soul, finding rest with God, so that our coming was worthwhile, that the hearing of the word was worthwhile. And don't forget it, we are that generation which may experience all things, all what the prophets and apostles and our Lord have announced, predicted, and promised. If our Lord would be here today, he would say unto us, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And then comes the blessed until we come from believing unto seeing. The Lord God, may he have his way with all of us. I tell you, if you have an inner agreement to the word of God, then you have the connection to God. And then God will confirm his word. Just having the inner agreement, the yes to God, the yes to the word, the yes to all the promises. Just the inner connection. And then it happens. Out of the inner connection, it happens that God can confirm his word in us, because we believe it. Therefore, we will see it in its fulfillment. As it said, all who preached the word and all who heard the word in their time, they experienced that what God did in the various epochs. We are experiencing today what God in eternity planned, ordained, and promised for this time period. God himself is watching over his word, and he's watching over his people, which receives his word in faith and reverence to confirm it in all of us. And this tonight, here in our midst. Blessed and praised be our Lord and God. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us pray together. We sing time and again choruses. Let us sing also today, Just As I Am. We are bowing our heads, are opening our hearts in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, we are in the presence of God. The Word, the everlasting Word, the glorious Gospel of Jesus Christ, the everlasting Gospel, was preached to us in this our time. God ordained it this way, and that's how it is taking place. We want to be thankful. Now a word to all who wish to dedicate their lives to the Lord, who perhaps carry a burden with themselves, something they can't cope with. Oh, laid off this heavy burden which you carried for so long yourselves. Jesus gives rest, only belief. As a German poem goes, he gave his blood for you and me. That's how this songwriter sings in that chorus. Now it can take place. Not only a withered hand, now all can get saved and healed. All, without exception, all can experience deliverance. All can be let out of the spiritual prison, because our Lord took captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Our Lord says, even today, the Spirit of God rests upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, so that all can be free, rejoicing about their redemption, having received the assurance to have become a special treasure to God by his grace. As we are having our heads bowed, let me ask whether someone is here who wants to be included in this prayer. Raise your hand. Everywhere the hands are going up. The Lord sees it. He sees it. He knows our needs. He knows what we are praying for. Believe now. Believe with all your hearts that God's promises are true. Believe it, that the Lord is present. Let us sing also, Only Believe, Only Believe. Faithful Lord, together we are coming into your presence with all our brothers and sisters who bring now their requests before your throne of grace. You are the high priest. You have compassion. You understand each one of us, and you are in our midst. We thank thee for it. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all guilt, from all sin. The blood of the Lamb sets free. It delivers. It forgives. It reconciles. Everything we have in the blood of the Lamb. O beloved Lord, manifest thy power. Give redemption, healing, deliverance. Confirm thy word. Confirm thy word near and far. O God, bless all who are hearing, who are watching. My God, let them not only hear and watch, but let them experience the power of God. Hallelujah. Thanks be to you. It has become light. Thanks be unto you. You have revealed yourself to us. You are the first. You are the last. You have the first and the last word. Hallelujah. Bless. Give revelation through your spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, may He reign in our midst. Hallelujah. Thanks, praise, glory, and honor be unto the Almighty God. Give clarity, give revelation, speak, work. Holy anointing, keep on resting on me. If you can, say it with all your heart. Jesus has set me free. Jesus has set me free. Hallelujah. He has revealed himself to you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise God. With the heart, one believes. With the mouth, one confesses. That what we believe with our hearts is given to us in as much we confess it with our mouths. Praise and thanks be unto our God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated.